Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com, and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cakes Auville today. EB traveling to see his daughter play volleyball. She plays at Cornell. Believe they're in Indiana to play Valpo.
Yep, he's out and about. He's out in the world.
He, of course, would be despondent if the Commanders lose on Sunday. We'll give you our official picks later in the program, but it is time to hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day, just in case. Just sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. So the big news coming out of Commanders Park is they have decided to place Emmanuel Forbes, the second-year corner, on the injured list, as he will have a surgery to repair a torn UCL. He has a banged up thumb. He's going to have surgery on his thumb.
Hey, you know what? Did I have something in common with Forbes. I remember I had the weird clicky thumb like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't cover anybody, but we both have injured thumbs.
Did that happen when he grabbed McMillan's face mask down the middle of the field?
I'm not sure if that was the root cause of it or not. But he will not be out on the field this Sunday or probably for the next at least four Sundays.
Four games, right?
Look, he had a PFF grade of 33.5 in his performance against Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
He was benched. Look, this is his second coaching staff to bench him. He got benched by Ron Rivera, who picked him.
Yeah,
it looks like a horrible pick in hindsight when you look at what Christian Gonzalez has done, who was picked one pick after him, I believe, in the draft. When you look at what Joey Porter Jr. has done in Pittsburgh, I'm pretty sure he was the first pick of the second round in that same draft. All he did in week one this year was go down and lock down Drake London, and he did nothing. So did they have to do the surgery now? Probably not, but I was listening to J.P. Finley's podcast, Beltway Football, on the way in. It's a convenient time to get it done, to shelve him. Maybe, you know, maybe he can restore his confidence. But it's just not working out with Emmanuel Forbes.
Yeah. You don't want to write off a guy after a rookie season plus one game.
Right.
But I think a lot of the fans have written him off.
Yeah.
And I might be jumping on that pile, too. It's probably not going to work out for Emmanuel Forbes. He's a Ron Rivera pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say that for 80% of the last four drafts, probably.
And now, the encouraging thing is Noah Igbinine, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I think that's pretty close. He stepped in when Forbes went to the sideline, and he performed pretty well. He had a PFF grade of 72.3. He was the second highest PFF graded player on Washington's defense last week. Now, I know that's not great because their defense got shredded and got annihilated by the Bucs.
Yeah.
But you're trying to find
one of the few bright spots.
You're trying to find some silver linings here.
Yeah, and Dan Quinn and obviously Joe Witt came from Dallas.
Right.
They know this guy because he also came from Dallas. Mm-hmm. So
he's a former first-round pick?
Yep. It's
30th pick in 2020, so he's got talent.
It's not a big loss in terms of possibly beating the Giants, but maybe for depth. It hurts you a little bit, but I think they'll be fine. It's not a huge loss.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, it may just be a move of convenience so that they can get Noah on the field and you don't have to hear anything about, well, what's going on with Forbes? Well, now you know he's on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if this kid can play. Former first-round pick, drafted 30th overall in 2020.
It's going to be interesting to see, kind of flipping it over, going to the offensive side, how early and often they get McLaurin involved. Because last week, you know, Tampa had some injuries during the game. They lost at least a couple of defensive backs, if not three. And McLaurin, you know, he was just shut down for the entire game. What did he finish with, two catches? I think two catches for 17 yards. It'll be interesting to see how early Kingsbury goes to him.
Oh, I think he's got to go.
And Eckler. I think Eckler and McLaurin need to be targeted a bunch early
both,
in this game.
Yeah, they're both going to have bigger roles.
They have to.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Did you hear Kingsbury yesterday talk about what he described as the worst play call of his life?
I did hear that, yes.
So he was referring to the second touchdown run from Jayden Daniels. It's a touchdown run. You'd think it was a good play, but basically he said, I didn't give him a check at the line to check out of it, and it wasn't a great look. But Jayden, just being as talented as he is, was still able to run it in despite the fact that the defense kind of had that play covered.
They probably learned a lot on film this week based on what they saw. So I think that things, I don't know if be drastically different, but things are going to be different early in this game. I don't think you're going to see Jayden, you know, running as much as he did. I think they're going to target McLaurin early. I think they're going to target Eckler early. Maybe they give Robinson more carries. We'll see. But the one thing that I am kind of concerned about the fact that the Giants defensive line did not get to Sam Darnold last week, and they got a couple guys who can get after him. And I'm sure they've worked on stuff this week too to try and take advantage.
Burns and Thibodeau, I would expect to be heavily involved.
So I think they're going to be active and they'll probably be a factor. I just don't think offensively they're good enough to beat Washington, but we'll see. It'll be a bad loss.
Sam Fortier had a good breakdown in the Washington Post in his latest column, and it was kind of a retort to Thomas Boswell's column. So I think we mentioned Boswell's column in the Washington Post yesterday or the day before that he wrote that if Jayden Daniels runs like he has in the first week, every week, he will shatter. That essentially was what he was positing. 14 runs too much. Well, Fortier went through all the runs, and he says, in the end, Daniels took just four hits while running. Three were on design runs, and one was on a scramble that was flagged for being helmet-to-helmet. He also took two hits on sacks in the pocket.
Yep.
But in terms of all of the runs, he didn't take that many hits.
It just takes one.
It does take one, but I thought he did a pretty good job of protecting himself, going down when he could, finding the out-of-bounds marker when he could. Like, I thought he did a pretty good job, especially for a rookie, making his debut. He didn't get caught in a lot of bad situations where he was just going to get punked by the defense.
Yeah.
So that was encouraging, but I agree. 16 carries seems like a lot.
It is a lot.
It's just not going to happen.
I don't think he had 16 carries in the game at all last year at LSU.
Right.
Year before, his first year at LSU, he had a bunch. They used him a lot more.
Right.
Or maybe he was just scooting and looking to run a lot more in his first year at LSU. But last year, he didn't have 16 carries in a game, I don't believe. And, you know, even if he's taking four or five hits, and it only takes one, Cakes. And if he's going to take four or five hits a week the way he's built, it's one of them is going to end his game.
A couple of injury notes as we get ready for week two against the Giants. First of all, Noah Brown may play. They say he's up to speed. But on the injury front, Johnny Newton, Dan Quinn says, is trending in the right way. He, of course, was second-round pick, defensive tackle. We mentioned Emmanuel Forbes. He's been sidelined. And tight end Zach Ertz. I guess they just give him rest days. You got a rest day on Wednesday.
I mean, he's a vet. Is he 33 or 34? Give that guy some rest when he needs it. He's a veteran. He's been in the league forever. I got no problem with them giving a guy like that a rest day. You see it all throughout the league.
Man, the Giants were just so bad offensively, though, last week. I mean, they can't be this bad back-to-back weeks.
Or could they be?
I mean, if they are, I think you're going to see Daniel Jones sit in the bench in week three.
Neighbors popped up on the injury report yesterday with a knee issue, but I saw reports that might have also been just like a maintenance type of day, where they're just kind of resting him heading into the game. He's a rookie. You wouldn't think he would need a maintenance day, so... Who knows who to believe? We can ask Paul DeTino about that. The guy I'd be worried about is Wandale Robinson, who's a real safety valve for Daniel Jones. And look, we saw Sanders still struggle covering Chris Godwin. Wandale Robinson is a quick, shifty guy that's going to work out of the slot. That's going to be a tough matchup for a rookie. Hopefully, Sanders still bounces back and is able to somewhat limit him. That's going to be a guy that Daniel Jones is looking to.
One of the 12 targets last week.
Yeah.
And I think Darius Slayton got hurt last week.
He did get banged up. So you would think Wandale Robinson's role expands even a little bit more if Slayton is limited or can't play.
One of the supposed strengths of the New York Giants is their pass rush. Mm-hmm. They traded for Brian Burns. They have Kayvon Thibodeau, who finished with 11.5 sacks last year. Could be a challenge for the Commanders' offensive line. PFF came out with their grades. The 33rd team came out with their grades. The offensive line actually performed admirably if you look at week one.
Yeah.
According to PFF, Cornelius Lucas was one of the best tackles
right
in all of football in week one.
I would love to see Thibodeau get stoned for two reasons. One, he's had a lot of success against Washington in his short career so far. Two, I just think he's kind of a punk, because if you saw him after the loss last week to the Vikings in the locker room, when somebody from the press asked him about the defensive line's role in letting the Vikings steamroll them and rack up 28 points, he basically just said, next question, not even going to address that.
Right.
So, like, do you take ownership when you play poorly and your team plays poorly? Apparently not.
So you're anti-Thibodeau.
Well, I would just like to see the Commanders run the ball his way and to see him get trucked. I'd like to see that.
I do want to see how the line holds up, because, all right, Lucas, who we're kind of expecting to be a backup if Brandon Coleman's healthy.
Yeah.
Coleman ended up playing 14 snaps in the game. So Lucas took the majority of the snaps. He graded out at basically an 86.
Love that.
Pass blocking grade, which was sixth amongst all the tackles in week one.
That's very encouraging.
And PFF had the team ranked 14th. Well, which is above average.
That's a huge win for an offensive line heading into the season that was getting graded pretty much in the 30s, like 30 to 32, somewhere in that range.
And then the 33rd team does their own rankings.
Yeah.
In pass protection, they had the Commanders 19th, so right in the middle of the pack.
Mm.
Not terrible.
It's still better than a lot of the predictions had them, and hopefully, you know, they just gel as they keep playing together, have more cohesiveness, you know, through weeks two, later into the season, and get better.
I mean, hopefully the guys that they added in the offseason, and then maybe Coleman once he comes in, a young guy, really uplift this offensive line. As I thought, Jaden, who did, look, he took off and ran a bunch, but he actually, by the statistics, was only pressured 8 times.
Yeah.
Which is not terrible.
So offensively, like I said, I think you're going to see McLaurin a lot early.
I'll be disappointed.
I think you're going to see Eckler more.
If McLaurin doesn't have 9 to 10 targets, I mean, you have to target your best receiver.
100%. 100%.
Especially for a young signal caller.
And let's see if Kingsbury moves him around a little bit. I know that's not his MO.
I don't know if I would count on seeing that.
I'm just saying. Yeah. You never know. Because they probably saw things on film where, hey, we can take advantage of this, and this.
Right.
Especially with some of the injuries. Because I believe one of the linebackers, Nick McCloud, got hurt last week, too, for the Giants. Mm-hmm. I think he's a question mark. But Minnesota, Aaron Jones ran for almost 100 yards.
Right.
He was averaging almost 7 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they can kind of take advantage of that,
sure,
with whether it's Robinson or Eckler.
I'd love to see Eckler with 10 to 12 touches.
Yeah, I think
maybe
you got
a little bit more.
I think you got to double Eckler's touches from last week.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Last week it was 6.
Get him 12 to 14 touches. That's sweet spot.
At minimum 10 to 12, yeah, if not more, 100%.
Coming up next, we will talk to a Giants insider. Paul Dottino covers the Giants for WFAN in New York. It's a Football Friday here on The Fan.